This morning we are going to take a look at the words of Jesus, in which we see, first of all, a couple of disasters and how he deals with those things, and second, of a parable talking about bearing fruit and how he continues to do that, or to work through us to do that. And because he continues to work in and through us by the power of his Spirit and through his forgiveness, I can bring you all greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 13, verses 1 through 9. And I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the hearing of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. There were present at that season some that told him of the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus, answering, said unto them, Suppose ye that these Galileans were sinners above all Galileans, because they suffered such things? I tell you, nay. But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Or those 18 upon whom the tower of Siloam fell and slew them, think ye that they were sinners above all men that dwelt in Jerusalem? I tell you, nay, but except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. And he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. And he said unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Why cumber it with the ground? And answering said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shall cut it down. Amen. Please be seated. Now, first of all, it's kind of a strange passage that the whole thing seems kind of strange to us in how Jesus starts out. Because he starts out with this. And there were some present at that very time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Now this, to us, we're going, well, what's going on here? But to the ancient reader, or to the ancient hearer of these things, they probably knew exactly what had happened here. Now this really kind of comes down to who Pilate is and how bloodthirsty he was. Because basically what it's saying is that Pilate killed a bunch of Galileans from the same place that Jesus was from. And after he had killed them or massacred them, he put their blood in with their sacrifices. It reveals a man who has no conscience. But the real question then comes in the next verse. And he answers, Do you think that these Galileans were worse sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered in this way? And this really comes to the question. Because we can think of all kinds of things that have happened to people. Hurricane Katrina. 9/11. The earthquake in Haiti. The earthquake in Chile. All these things. And many times, unfortunately, within Christian circles, you hear, well, this happened because they were such sinners. And I especially remember it after Katrina and after the earthquake in Haiti. It was their fault that this happened. And this is one of the most terrible injustices we as Christians do to God. these verses explain it. Jesus says, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." You see, we have this idea that still somehow God is looking to punish people for sin. Looking to strike us down if we do something wrong. We forget what we really believe. We forget about that cross. We forget about how God already poured His wrath upon humankind out on His Son. God allowed His Son to take our punishment, to be beaten, to die, to bleed, and to shed His blood for our sin. So now we can't run around saying, "Well, see what happened to them over there. It's all because of their sin." And in fact, what these natural disasters should do is call us to repentance. Not thinking that we're so much better than those folks down in Haiti or Chile or New Orleans. Because Jesus calls us to repentance. He calls us because we are sinful. And this is the thing that we must remember, that we have the same sin in us that they have every place else in this world. And we cannot start using God in this way. And I've heard it, and I know many of you have heard it too. "Well, if they weren't so evil, God wouldn't have punished them like that. If God is passing out punishment for being evil, we all should probably be dead. I know I should." And this is the thing that we must remember. And it's so important that Jesus doesn't leave it go with that one example. In fact, He brings them another one. Or those 18 on whom the Tower of Siloam fell and killed them. Do you think that they were all worse offenders than all those who live in Jerusalem? So here now He calls out the people who have died in the holy city, where God's temple abounds, where His people center their worship. And 18 of them died when this tower fell. Well, they must have been worse than the rest of those folks there. That's why God did it to them. These things are absolutely silly. And people should be called out when they think about them. And we should call ourselves out when we see somebody in suffering and go, "Well, then God must be punishing them." And likewise, if we see people suffering, we shouldn't go to the opposite extreme and think, "Well, maybe it should be me and not them." We have friends, family members, people that we know who are all suffering right now. For the first time in my life, I know lots of people whom I'm very, very close to, who are suffering at a young age. And I remember sitting in my office thinking, "Why is this happening?" Thinking, "Well, they're better. I mean, look at them. They're better than I am. Why do they have to suffer these afflictions?" But God will use even these terrible things to call us, to help us look at our lives, to help us wonder if we also, and we do, need to repent. You see, the problem is we need repentance each and every day. We need to understand that we need that change. Because as much as we like to call ourselves believers, a lot of times we don't bear the fruit of being a believer. And I really think that's why Jesus goes right into the next part of our text here. Because he goes right into the parable of the fig tree. A man planted it in his vineyard, or a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came seeking fruit on it and found none. And he said to the vine dresser, "Look, for these 3 years I have come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and I find none. Cut it down. Why should it use up the ground?" And this really kind of, when we think about it, that makes sense. If you have a tree in your yard or in your garden and it's not producing any fruit and you come after it 3 years in a row, get rid of it. What's the point? Why should I do anything? Why should I leave it there? But we also see how gracious our Lord is. Because he says this, and he answered him, "Sir, let it alone this year also, until I dig around it and put on manure. Then if it should bear fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." You see, God has done everything for us that we can bear fruit, the fruit of repentance, as John called the Pharisees to do. Bear the fruit of repentance. Understand that it changes your life. It changes who you are. It changes how you think. We no longer think of ourselves. We think of the other. We no longer are in it for all our greedy wants and needs, but we live to glorify God in what we do. And these are just part of the fruits of repentance. But these are the things that Christians are to show. Not self-righteousness. Not condescension. Not judgment. But love to God and love to our neighbor in all its various forms and functions. And God doesn't leave us alone. Here, the vine dresser comes and he says, "Let me take care of it. I'll dig around it and I'll soil myself and put manure around it. I'll get dirty and smelly." And to me, this is a perfect picture of Jesus Christ. He came down and he soiled himself with our sin. Manure is not a real lovely thing. And yet the vine dresser here handles it, puts it in the hole, and makes sure that the fig tree has everything it needs to produce fruit. And it is very much the same with us. God has given us His Son. And His Son now lives in and with us by the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we have everything that when we realize who God is and what He has done through His Son, and we repent, that we will bear fruit. And this is really something that is urgent. We think of this in a sense that, well, God will always keep forgiving. And yes, He does. But our repentance and our bearing of fruit are also urgent. They're only giving a year. We only have a certain amount of time. Today is the day of grace. Today, each and every one of us are called to repent and to believe the gospel. To repent and bear fruit of that gospel. This is a hard text. Because it's calling us to do something that we don't really like. To admit to ourselves and admit to each and every one of, or all people, that we are indeed sinners. That we need repentance. But it is also a very easy text. Because God gives us everything to show that He has forgiven us. He was willing to come here and get Himself dirty. He was willing to go on the cross to take upon our sin. And He calls us to believe it. He calls us to know it and to understand it so that we can and will, by the power of His Word and Him working through His Holy Spirit in us, we will bear fruit to that repentance. Yeah, it's not fun to come face to face with yourself and realize who you are. To realize that, yeah, I am a sinner. Chief of them, actually. And many of us have been there. But to come to the other side and realize that God does not hold that sin against you. That God is not looking to punish you. But rather, God has sent His Son to bear His wrath. To take on that punishment that we deserve. So that we can have that new life in Him. That we can be raised into His resurrection and into His glory and be part of His body. So that we will bear fruit. And we'll bear fruit because that's who we are. That's who we become in repentance. I do not know how it works. I wish I did. I wish I had the magic formula so I could just explain it. What I do know is God calls us by His grace to repentance and also by His grace to understand that we are forgiven. And also by His grace leads us and guides us in our lives. It is one of the most perplexing mysteries to me that there are in the Scripture. But it is the power of God to each and every one of us. Repent and believe the gospel. That is the calling for each one of us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You and we give You thanks. Thanks that You are not out to punish us or others. Father, that You poured that wrath that You would have against mankind upon Your Son. And we ask that as we face natural disasters and we see them and we see lives of our loved ones suffering, that, Father, you would help us to remind us that today is the day of grace. And we too, today, need to repent, to believe the gospel. Father, that we would turn away from our selfish selves and turn to you. That, Father, you would lead and guide us to bear fruit to that repentance. That we would indeed love you and love our neighbor. Father, we thank you for that precious gift of your Son and the forgiveness that you have given us through his blood. In Jesus' name, amen. Raise your heads and your hearts and receive the Lord's benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We will conclude our service this morning by singing hymn number 463.